Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today I have the pleasure of having a guest on the program who is going to be talking with us about, well, about permission, giving ourselves permission to pause and to be flexible. Because it's been a crazy, crazy year. It is, as we're recording this, it is July, and the pandemic feels like it's been going on for years, even though it's only been months. But it's been a long haul. So I want to welcome Chris Rice to the program. She is the founder of Deconstructing Wellness, and what she does is she empowers high-achieving mamas to prioritize their wellness without feeling like they have to spend 3 hours a day meditating. Even though that'd be nice sometimes to do that, but we don't always have the luxury of having 3 hours to spend meditating. So welcome, Chris. I'm so glad to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Gloria.
Yeah. Well, like I said at the beginning, it's been a crazy, crazy 2020. And I know that a lot of people and a lot of women in particular, and especially those who are maybe business owners and mothers who've got young children, or maybe you're even working from home for the first time when you used to be going to an office. It's been an adjustment and having to try to balance all of these things. And now, of course, we're in the middle of summer time when kids are still home from school. They've been home from school for quite a while. It's maybe a lot of people are probably feeling exhausted. And even though I work from home normally, even I'm tired of being home. It's because it's a different dynamic. My husband's been home working from home as well. And so I'm not just alone, and I'm not able to go out to networking meetings necessarily like I used to be able to do. So, and one of the things you talk about is the importance of giving people and women in particular permission to slow down and recharge. So what are the three top areas that you recommend that women can be actually, give themselves permission to be flexible with? Let's start there.
Definitely. I definitely hear where you're at. I work from home normally, and actually my husband and I both do, but it's still a lot. It's been a long time of everybody being cooped inside. And I think as much as like we had a mindset of like, I can get through this, now we're like, there's really no end in sight. So I think to me, you know, how can we make ourselves feel good and feel empowered in the space we're in? Because we don't know when it's going to change. Right. So, the three areas, I kind of boiled it down to three different ways that we can give ourselves that flexibility and give ourselves that permission to just to explore. So the first one that comes to my mind is permission to shift your morning routine. So I'm sure that a lot of your listeners and a lot of the women that follow you probably have a morning routine that benefits them and feels good and, you know, has gotten honed over the years. But in the times that we're in, that might look really different, especially with not having kids go to school or never really leaving the home. Like, what does that look like now? And I think more than anything, just giving ourselves that flexibility to explore. We already knew what worked, but how can we retain some of those elements, but also adjust it to the space we're in and not feel badly for having to adjust it? So, you know, in an ideal world, maybe you would get up an hour before your family gets up, but in all that you have going on, maybe that is 10 minutes, but you still give yourself that quiet and that space to be able to have a cup of coffee on your own or whatever feels good to you, and just really embracing that piece of it, what feels good to you and what fills you up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is so important because, yeah, things are different. And being able to be kind to yourself, I think, is so important right now. And realize that there are some days, I mean, I have found just sometimes I've actually been staying up a little bit later. And so then I wind up sleeping in a little bit later. And that has sort of messed up my routine a bit. But it's like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to have to do the best I can, because I felt like staying up a little bit later the night before, and maybe taking care of either. Sometimes actually I've just found myself playing Mahjong, which I haven't done in a long time, because I just needed to do something different and just to de-stress a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah. What other areas are there that women can, have a little more flexibility besides the morning routine?
Yeah, I think another area is repurposing time. So your Mahjong example, I think, is a perfect example. Like, if you were in the times that we were in 6 months ago, would you have given yourself that flexibility, like stay up late and play a game that you want to play? You know, figure out those things that fill you up and give you joy, and allow yourself to do that, even though it's not what you might normally do. Mm-hmm. To me, repurposing time really means taking like the obligations and the things that you quote unquote have to do, and filling those with other aspects that may fill your heart more. So, you know, maybe that's winding down at the end of the night with your kids, and, you know, maybe you incorporate a little bit of mindfulness along with tucking them into bed, or, you know, just areas that you can be more present and give yourself some joy in the day, and fill yourself up amidst the things that you kind of already have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. How can you, is there a way to work with your kids? I mean, I'm fortunate in that my kids are grown, although my daughter is still at home at the moment, but I still remember when they were little, and I just, my heart goes out to parents right now, because I can only imagine how stressful that is. And I know the kids are probably feeling, you know, tremendous stress too. And I don't think there's been enough. Occasionally I'll see maybe a mention in the newspaper or something about kids, but helping them to maybe be flexible as well might be something to be
absolutely
mindful about.
I do think it's a time to, you know, everything's slower than it used to be. Just by nature, everything has slowed down to a different pace than we were used to before. I know in our house, I have a meditation practice, but that was sort of something I almost like kept to myself, and I didn't really talk about, and nobody really knew that I did it because I did it before anybody woke up. Mm. But in this space, it's almost like everything's just kind of out in the open. Like, you kind of know what's going on with everyone else. And so I have two little girls, they're 5 and 8, and they got kind of curious about it. And so we've started, my 8-year-old in particular, she's a worrier. She's my worrier. And she, especially at the beginning of this, it was hard. And to take away school, which is probably one of her favorite things. Mm-hmm. I think there isn't enough conversation around how hard that is on little people that thrive on routine and just want to have that. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, we actually started incorporating that into our end of the day routine. So we lay there for 5 minutes, we do a 5-minute guided meditation, and she now asks for that. That's part of what we do. And she loves that. My little one she likes different stuff, and that's okay. But maybe, you know, just to give yourself that flexibility to even think like, if this serves me, who knows, it might serve them too. Mm-hmm. And just any tools that we can give each other to try and have a little more ease and grace right now, I think we would all take.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that can be one of the true benefits that's going to come out of this, is that to do something like that, to help your children practice mindfulness, because mm-hmm. I've seen studies and things where kids who had that opportunity, they do so much better in life because it does. It helps adults. So why wouldn't it help children in this way? Then if they get it young to start now, how much better that they're going to be in the long run.
Absolutely. And you know, just making it simple at its core, it really is. And in all honesty, like we listen to the Peloton meditations, she chooses 5-minute sleep meditations. They are in no way made for kids, but they're completely fine. She relates to them and she loves it. So, you know, just having that, you know, awareness and maybe level of okay with just trying it and seeing, and no pressure to them, but if they love it, then grab onto it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Is there any other area that that we can focus on to, again, I guess give ourselves permission to be flexible? So far we've talked about morning routine and then repurposing time. What else?
Other one that really sticks out to me is to allow yourself to feel the feelings that come up. Mm-hmm. I heard the other day, this whole time being referred to as a Corona coaster. And I was like, that is pretty much perfect. So, giving ourselves the level of being present and just accepting what our day and what is present for us in that moment. And it might be moment to moment. It might be day to day. And it really, you know, I'm naturally a pretty even keeled person, but I notice in this time, like things are a lot more up and down than they were before. And, you know, instead of maybe rushing to fix it or whatever your go-to is when it feels uncomfortable, sitting in that and being okay with that and giving yourself that permission to just feel what's coming up and know that by not pushing it away, we're going to get through it in a much better way and probably learn a lot more from it. So, you know, some days there are a lot of things to be grateful for in this time. There truly are, but there's a lot of hardship too. And it's okay to feel that pain of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause I have found when you can, give yourself the grace to just be with it a little bit. You know, you don't want to necessarily wallow in it, but if you can just spend a few minutes and just acknowledge and say, you know what, I feel really icky right now, or I feel sad, and just allow yourself to have that cry rather than trying to stuff it down, because then it'll just come out maybe at the wrong time and in the wrong way, and you might hurt someone's feelings or something. But if you can just deal with it and just, like you said, just allow yourself to feel, I think it is going to be so much better for everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree. You know, I think that's one that comes up for me too, is I find myself like just crying, like that stuff happens more often than it really ever used to. Mm-hmm. But I also realized that I feel so much better afterwards. Like there is no point in stuffing it down and pretending like I don't feel like that. And with little ones too, that can be uncomfortable. They get to cry whenever they want. They scream and yell and they cry and whatever it is out there. And then when they see us cry, that it can be hard. But I also think there's a lot more honesty and transparency in the time that we're in, because we're all in this together. And I think if nothing else, like a big benefit can hopefully be that you've come together as a family unit because you've had to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I think it's better for, in the long run, it might be in the short term, it may be a little confusing sometimes for kids to see, you know, mom crying or something. But I think in the long run, it will benefit them, because you're teaching them by example that it's okay to feel your feelings. And I think especially if you've got, you know, little boys in particular, because so often our culture, you know, says, boys don't cry. And so it would be better for them to learn that, yeah, it's okay. It's even okay for boys to cry sometimes.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about some areas for giving ourselves permission. Tell me a little bit more about how you work with clients, and what is sort of the, what is your favorite thing that you like to help people with? in practice?
Well, interestingly enough, so I do one-on-one coaching. So I work directly with clients virtually, just like this. So that's how I've always worked with clients. And the number one takeaway is I like look at the different people that I've worked with over the years, all women, all of them have said at the end of it that receiving that permission, whether they realized it ahead of time or after we worked together, that was the number one thing that really shifted everything for them. I think that that is the hardest thing as high achieving women to give ourselves is that, you know, we give to everybody else first. And if we could give to ourselves in that same way, it would be, we would show up much differently. And I think our world would be a little different place. So, you know, it fills my heart to hear when people realize that and give themselves that gift that they deserve. So.
Well, that's good. What have you found to be, let's say the best advice that you've given women, like in particular, maybe about how to prioritize wellness in, you know, now or in the future, even when we get back to, you know, hopefully not having to stay at home so often and being able to get back to the office and things like that. And if we get back to more of our typical busy lives.
Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing that I would always recommend to somebody is to start with micro goals. So I almost term it like laughably small, whatever is literally so tiny that you can focus on, that you can feel a quick win and sense of gratification for doing it. Those are the things that I truly believe build an incredible foundation for your wellness and for your health overall. You know, we can get really caught up in like seeing all these amazing things we should do and all these big plans we should have. And, you know, by the example of a morning routine, maybe you have these great ideas for 90 minutes in the morning, you're going to do this. But what if you woke up 5 minutes before anybody else and you gave that 5 minutes and that 5 minutes built instead of 90 minutes that you do for 2 days? So I think just the smaller you can start and letting go of all the shoulds, letting go of what you think anybody else thinks it should look like, what you even think it should look like, really listening to what fills you up and what makes you feel good and letting go of the rest. I think, you know, if you did those two things, you could make a huge impact in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's great advice. One thing I realized I didn't ask you at the beginning was how did you get into the work that you're doing? What prompted you to start this? Because I know you've got like a Facebook page called Deconstructing Wellness in particular. So what was the catalyst for you?
I really think my own having kids was my catalyst for it. You know, I in my head think that I can juggle all the things. And so I have that belief that it's almost like a superpower. I'll be able to do all these things. And kids humbled that. And so with my first daughter, I have worked from home for a long time. But when I had her, I went back to work after a month. In hindsight, totally ridiculous and crazy, I did it. And so it was like, I could keep pushing forward the way I normally did until I had my second daughter. And then it was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. But how can I do it differently? And I do it a whole lot better now. So I listened to myself and I learned practices to be able to achieve wellness for myself. And I don't like the word balance, but I do think that I have a sense of trying to prioritize the different areas of my life. And so my goal is if I can do that and I can feel a whole lot stronger and more confident in myself, I would love nothing more than to share that with other women too.
That's great. Yeah. And it's something that we really do need help with. I think so many of many women buy into this idea that number one, that we have to do it all to have it all. And it just doesn't work. So to be able to work with someone like yourself, to be able to get some guidance on and permission, as you say, to realize that, okay, do start small, and you can do some of these things, but also be kind to yourself along the way. So yeah, that's awesome. What you said that you work one-on-one with clients. What are you coming up with maybe during this time? Has it inspired you? Because I know I've talked with some different folks on the podcast in the past about how they've used this time to maybe, you know, do something creatively. Has anything sparked you in doing anything different right now?
I think it's definitely made me have to, I'm an efficient and like process oriented person by nature. That's just kind of how my brain works. But it definitely has forced me to be that much more thoughtful about what I'm doing and the trade-offs of that. So, you know, figuring out how much time do I want to devote to everything and making sure that I feel good about that at the end of the day, and trying to, like social media, for instance, maybe in theory, I want to be on there for a half hour a day, but at the end of the day, it's usually the thing that doesn't happen. So, you know, and giving myself that okay, that for the space we're in, I'm going to do the things that hopefully are of most benefit, and it's okay that it can't be all of those things. So, but I definitely have actually felt more creatively inspired, I think, because of that, because I've been like, okay, let's weed this stuff down, figure out what that can be. And then I've got some really exciting things that I'm working on for the coming year to launch in next year. And I think I normally wouldn't give myself that time frame, but in the space we're in, I'm like, that feels right. It's okay. I don't have to do it tomorrow. I will give myself this time to figure it out. So that's been really nice too.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I think that's sensible and just a great way to approach it, because it's a good time to give yourself the space to mm-hmm. be able to relax. And that's when I think more creativity happens, I guess, when we give ourselves time to relax and not be all stressed all the time.
Yeah, so, and not be doing all the time. Like, yeah. if you are doing, maybe it is, you know, taking an evening walk with your spouse instead of the other type of doing that you would be, you know, filling your evening with. So that's nice too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned social media. If someone wanted to be able to learn more about you and your coaching, what is the best place for them to connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. So I did downplay it. I am actually active on social media. But so on all instances, be it Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, I'm at Deconstructing Wellness. So you can find me there. I'm most active on Instagram. And I also would love to give your audience a kind of next step if they were inspired by these three steps. I have a 5 steps to reverse burnout, really simple guide that I think is very tangible, and you can literally start making change today with no props required. So if they want to grab that, just head over to deconstructingwellness.com/live.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that I have that in the show notes as well, awesome. But that sounds really good. So good. I'm looking forward to checking that out myself.
Eva. Well, good.
And you know what? One last thing I wanted to ask you is, so what does deconstructing wellness mean? So how did you come up with that name? What does that actually, what do you refer to when you're speaking about that?
That is a great question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. Great question. To me, it really means breaking down the expectations. So breaking down all of the things that wellness should look like and deconstructing it into what truly works for each individual. Mm-hmm. And at the heart of that, really simplifying it. I think it gets made into all kinds of things that it doesn't have to be, and that the complexities of it that are just unnecessary. And at the end of it, if you can listen to yourself and turn inward a bit, but also just simplify what you're trying to do and start small, I think incredible change can be had. So that's really where I come from with it.
Well, I love that. I think that is absolutely the way to go. And so I'm so glad that we had a chance to have you on the show to talk about this today. So I know that you are, I'm sure, are going to inspire some women out there to hit the pause button and just breathe a little bit more and just give yourself some grace to do that.
Absolutely. I certainly hope so. That is definitely the intention.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I appreciate your spending some time with us today. And for everyone who is watching and listening, thank you for listening in and tuning in. So I appreciate you as well. And let's see. Oh, and just to make sure that if you want to be able to listen to this again, you can also catch it by going to my website. You can go to liveloveengagepodcast.com, and that's where you'll be able to see this episode as well as all the previous ones as well. So until next time, I am Gloria Grace Rand, and I encourage you as always to go out there and to live fully, to love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.